It's a whole lot of sneaky schiff. It's the news according to me. Good Friday morning. Friday morning, July 8th. It's not June. It's not January. It's not August. It's just July. July 8th, 8:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2022. The year. The year of the monkeypox. That's what this is. So I'm just going to jump right into my cup here this morning because I know nobody can pay attention to what I'm doing, to what I'm saying. Then they won't pay attention until I tell you what's in my cup. Everybody's hanging on the edge, just waiting for that cup announcement. I have chai with creamer in it. There you go. That's get that out of the way. I have a backup cup this morning. Guess what's in my backup cup? Sweet tea. And it's from Culver's. They're not sponsoring the show today, but I did pay for a cup of sweet tea from Culver's. So that's how they got there. I paid for their advertisement this morning, their endorsement. I had one of the best intros I've had in a long time in the show recently, this morning, but I forgot to hit the stop the mute button. I was doing some other recording, and I had my microphone muted so that that way it wouldn't be as much background noise, that kind of thing, in the thing, just to make it a clear recording. And just, you know, it is what it is. But in the process of doing that, I forgot to unmute my microphone when I started the show. And I have to say, it was kind of funny. It was a good start to a show. That now it was lost forever. That's the one thing when you're doing voiceover work. If you hit that magic, they call it the magic happens. You know, you hit everything right. The cadence is right. The tone is right. You don't mispronounce any words. You have a whole run through, and it's the perfect thing. And the director says, that's great. That was the perfect cut. That was the perfect take. Send that one over. And you look down and realize you didn't hit the record button. It's like, oh, okay. I'll send that right over. Yeah. That's a pretty depressing, demoralizing kind of disheartening, gut-wrenching kind of feel when you have to tell them, hey, I didn't record that. It didn't take. Or there's something wrong with it. Yeah. See if we can do that again. Now, normally I can, because once I've had it in my head, once I've got that tone, that pitch down, and then usually the next one, they'll even say, oh, that was even better. That's typically, so they don't. It's only happened a couple times. But it's usually in the middle of one of those deals where you know you're running all these medical terms and you got all this stuff you got to say, and it's difficult sentences. The sentence is actually a paragraph long where they didn't use any punctuation, and you got to figure it all out. Sometimes the script writers, it makes sense, but it just doesn't. It's not grammatically good. It's a little difficult to interpret what they're trying to say sometimes. And you get these directors on there that seem to think that they can, they know how it's supposed to be read, and they'll read it for you. And so you feel, you get this, and so you read it back exactly the way they said it. And it's, they realize that you're mocking them. That's the tone that they come back with you're mocking. That's the way you read it. You want me to read it exactly? You want me to read it back exactly like that? Nothing. It's the way you're reading it sounds nothing like what you're describing, which is why you hired me as a professional to read it for you. So you have to be kind of careful with that, because my tendency is to say it back exactly the way they do it. There's a really good clip of William Shatner, the guy from Star Trek, doing this. Is that his name? William Shatner. I think it's it. I don't know if I got it right or not. He's doing this voiceover work. And this director is trying to give him direction, of course, you know, because that's what they do. And he's telling him how to do it. And at some point, I think I'm going to pull that up and just kind of, I might actually feature that on the show at some point, because it is so, It's hilarious. He goes back after this guy, and he gets real sarcastic, and he just lays into the guy. And basically says, why don't you just do it? You know how so much about this. But he goes into this big, big, long dissertation. It's funny. I mean, it is one of the best clips on I think that he's ever done. Anyway, I was doing this other recording. The recording is some things about the leftist party, and we're going to get into some things. Adam Schiff, for one thing, we've got Adam Schiff on the program today. He won't actually be on the show, but we'll be talking about it. His name is going to come up. Let's just put it that way. Get his name. His name will be coming up. Someone you haven't probably heard for a while, unless you've listened to MSNBC and CNN and all those stupid things. We have Howard Dean with some opinions about some people who are up and coming in the Republican Party, because, you know, his opinion matters. That guy's a freak. We have, that's about it. Well, there's some other things. I was listening to some January 6th updates, the committee updates, some things that were happening. I listened to Robert Gouveia last night. And he had a good report on some things that were going on. Make no mistake, they will indict President Trump. This is a Hail Mary attempt here, folks, but they're going to do it. Now, keep in mind, January 6th is not a court of law. This is not a part of the American justice system. These people who are doing this committee are not part of the judicial system. They want to usurp their authority, step outside the bounds of what Congress is, the House of Representatives, and step into the judicial branch of our government. What they're trying to do is influence public opinion so that when they try to pull this thing off AG and the DOJ, that they can get away with this kind of thing without too much public outcry. So there's a lot of opinions flying around out there. I'll get into some of that stuff right after this brief message from our sponsor. That's good chai. All right. After that, we'll just get right into the show. Let's have a show of hands. How many of you are big fans of Adam Schiff? I don't see any hands, so there must not be anybody out there. Because I don't see any hands. I think that guy's just, no, that guy just got up and, oh, he's going to the bathroom. Sorry. The interesting thing, let's listen. First of all, there's all this talk. Let's get into this whole thing about Ron DeSantis and what's going on with Gavin Newsom from California, the governor there. There's this little, Gavin's just all upset that I think already Gavin is thinking he's going to run for president in 2024. He sees this as his opportunity because, after all, there's such a flummox among the Democrats right now about who's going to lead their party. They've got this little star child used car salesman / televangelist guy who has governor out there right now. And he's doing a great job. People are leaving in droves. They can't – the U-Haul, the company U-Haul, who has – they rent trailers and trucks for people who are moving. They've run out of trailers and trucks. Nobody's moving to California right now. They can't get people to move. They're paying to have their trailers and trucks moved back to California so that more people can move out. Big corporations, companies, mom and pop operate. Everybody's leaving California. Not everybody. A lot of people are leaving California. Of course, what do they have to do? They have to raise taxes because they're losing all the tax money, this tax revenue that they had from people being there. The reason people are leaving to begin with was because of all the tax things and all the stupid rules they've got out there. Regulation of everything. They're regulating, they're choking businesses off the planet. So there's, it's all because of, you know, green energy and all this stuff. So that, and, you know, vaccines because. There's areas that are still in lockdown there, by the way. They're still under COVID rules there. In other words, Gavin Newsom still has executive authority over a whole bunch of things. Because again, the leftists, the Democrat Party is not, it's not democratic. There's nothing about the democratic system, the democratic process that is a part of the Democrat Party. Democrat Party is not democratic at all. They're the fascists. They're the rulers. They're the dictators. And we'll get into this little, I've got a little audio of some things that happened on MSNBC recently. Howard Dean, I'm pretty sure that's it. I think he's the head of the DNC, which actually, ironically enough, is the Democratic National Committee. However, that's fine if they want to call themselves Democratic National Committee, because that's their legal name. But that's not the party's name. The party's name is the Democrat Party. Democratic National Committee is fine because they may have a democratic process that they operate under, so their national committee is democratic, and that's what they want to call it. That's calling themselves, the national committee's process is democratic. That's fine if you want to call it that. However, these people are not democratic. This is obvious when it came down to the whole thing with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. There was nothing democratic about that. All the emails that were going on behind the scenes with Wasserman Smith or Wasserman Schultz or whatever her name was, she had to step down. She had to resign because they found out that they were cheating Bernie Sanders. That was the reason she stepped down. And in the process, nothing ever changed. They just stepped up, put somebody else in, and they continued on with the way they were doing things. It didn't change anything. Bernie still got shafted and didn't, guess what? He didn't put up a fuss. He just went along with the establishment because that's what Bernie is. Bernie's a fraud, and a lot of people in the party saw that. A lot of people who were supporting Bernie Sanders initially because he was considered an outsider. He wasn't establishment. They switched over to Trump because he wasn't establishment. H.A. Goodman was one of those individuals. He was one of the biggest supporters on the internet of Bernie Sanders. He was a huge supporter. Became one of the biggest Trump supporters and now is a rabid Democrat hater. Hates the Democrat Party because of what his eyes were kind of opened up to the whole process. He's like, it's not a party of the people. He saw it right away. Now he's not. He still has some social. I would say he's full blown conservative. I don't agree with him on everything, but he's definitely had a whole total mind shift in this whole thing. Be interesting to see how old he is. I think he's got to be about 30 years old or so, probably. Which is, you know, right at that point where your mind kind of fully develops and you become a Republican. Not an establishment Republican, but you understand things from more of a perspective of individual rights, liberties, those kinds of things, sovereignty. So the, because you have logical thinking, your logical thinking kicks in at some point in there, late 20s, early 30s, for most people. And that's your critical thinking skills, your logical thinking skills kick in and you start to have this ability to reason that you didn't have before because you were just emotionally tossed around like a leaves in the wind kind of thing. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's kind of the way it is. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to this whole thing. You're going to have Adam Schiff, Dean Howard, Howard Dean. Who else are we going to have on the program today? We'll talk about a few things, but that's primarily it. There's some other things. Now, I think I talked about this yesterday. Did I talk about this yesterday? The Guidestones got taken down, blown up. They found the two guys, I think, that did it. Now, they're... I heard a little reporter saw some headlines that said it sounded like it might be an Antifa thing, which is kind of bizarre. Because I think they were trying to pin it on some right-wing radicals or something. I don't know what they're trying to do there. But it's last I heard, it was an Antifa thing. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I think I talked about yesterday, but I talked about Boris Johnson resigning. What else has been going on that I haven't talked about? I think that's been about it. The Netherlands. We could talk about the Netherlands a little bit. What's going on there? That's become a. Well, let's just say Canada, Justin Trudeau, and whoever the leader is of Netherlands, they're going down the same road. The path is the same. There are ridiculous, like scary, protests going on over there, and the authority that the cops have been given has been absolutely off the charts. I don't understand exactly what's going on with all that, but it is amazing what's happened with that. There are farmers they're basically being told you're not going to build a farm anymore. They're shutting some farms down. The government's shutting them down. You either farm this way, and it's all about the Green New Deal, this whole, the globalist ideal of how farmers need to farm now. They can't use nitrogen. They can't use all this stuff that they're depriving them of. You're going to change the way you farm or you're not going to farm anymore. So they're driving their tractors around in the streets. Well, they're protesting, shutting things down. And of course, the police now have come in and been given immunity, granted immunity for anyone that they shoot. They have immunity to shoot protesters. That's what you want, isn't it? That sounds like a democratic way of doing things. That's democracy in action, isn't it? You have the right to protest, but we have the right to shoot you with impunity. They were shooting at tractors. Not tractors that were trying to run over them, just tractors who were driving around. It is out of control, folks. I'll tell you, we're seeing the collapse of civil society. There's no civility in any of this. And it's identical, and basically Trudeau, I think he's taken it right from the playbook. And of course, Trudeau got all his information, all his rules and ways of doing things directly from the Kremlin, apparently, because that's what they were doing in Russia with protesters for the Ukrainian war. They still are. There's protests still in Russia about the Ukrainian war. They are losing lots of soldiers there. They're taking some heavy losses. It's a crazy, crazy situation right now. It's everything's on a hair trigger at the moment. I don't think we're being told a half of what's going on. If you trust this administration to be upfront and straight with the American people, I'm sorry that you're trusting the wrong folks. Who knows what's going on? Because Anyway, I have this video. Or this audio, actually, it's an audio recording of Howard Dean. We're just going to play this real quick. He gives his little, because I keep hearing people talk about DeSantis running in 2024. And I think that there's this real push among the Republicans. I think even some regular Trump supporters are coming out basically and saying, well, DeSantis needs to be Trump's running mate. I don't think it's going to work. Now, I don't think that DeSantis will even run in the primary if Trump runs. Unless Trump does something really bizarre between now and then. However, I'm hearing more and more from Republican, not the establishment as much, but other people just saying that, well, you know, Trump's got this stigma about him and people don't like him and the media attacks him. And I think that they're just going to go after him like crazy if he tries to run again. Yeah, well, they did that. I think that DeSantis has the ability to communicate better than Trump does, but he's no Trump. He doesn't have the life experience that Trump does. And the experience with business and all the other things that are going on. Now, he does have the political experience of being a governor for a while And he's dealt with the media. He's dealt with a lot of tough issues. He's been a good leader, no doubt. Now, my question is, who's going to replace Ron DeSantis in Florida? We need good governors in states. That is absolute. We have to have that, especially when you have a look at what we've gone through in the last 2 years, and the governors that have really pulled their states through were the conservative red states. They were the ones that held the line and tried to push back in most cases. If they hadn't been for some of those people, like DeSantis and others, now I have to say Holcomb here in Indiana has not, let's just say it's been a major disappointment. He's caved on a lot of social issues, a lot of things that I think are just, I'm not going to get into it. I kind of saw this coming with even Mike Pence. I always thought that he was kind of playing to the crowd on the right, knowing that he was in a red state, kind of. He has some moral fortitude, but at the same time, I think he's a very good politician. And by that, I mean he's a politician. I noticed one time when Bill Clinton was making a speech. George Bush was the president. And Bill Clinton was making this speech a few years after Bush was in office. Might have been when he was after in 2004 during the election season. I can't remember who they ran against Bush in 2004. The Democrat side. It might have been John Kerry. I think it was John Kerry. And I think during that time, Bill Clinton came out, was maybe doing a speech at the DNC or something, whatever he was doing. And he said, George Bush is he was telling this story. Then afterwards he said, George Bush is a very good, he didn't say person. He kind of felt like he was going to say person. He kind of paused. He had perfect timing in his delivery of the statement. It was perfect. A very good, and he said, of course, he's a very good politician. Of course, that word, politician, can have some derogatory tones to it, and he knew it. It didn't come, that's not a well accept. He could have said a very good person. He could have said a very good anything else. But he said politician. He pinned that label to him, which gave all the very good part of it. It gave nothing positive to George Bush. He's a very good criminal, basically is what he was saying there, without saying it. So that happens, and they wordcraft this stuff very well. Now, everybody's coming out and talking about this whole thing. Now, I don't think that DeSantis would be a good running mate with Trump unless Trump doesn't make it through the entire 4 years for some reason. I don't think they get along that well, personally. I just don't see it happening. I think that things would be good to some degree. I don't think they would get along that well. Now, would he be better than Kamala Harris? Don't even go there. There's not even a comparison there, folks. Wait till you hear what Howard Dean has to say about it. But anyway, the whole thing of this whole, it's, if Trump doesn't run, yes, let's throw DeSantis in there. However, I'd like to see a Trump-esque person other than him, but who's going to replace him in Florida? That's my concern is Florida. Yeah, DeSantis would make a great president. I don't know if he's got the life experience. I'm not sure that he's quite there. It'd be nice to have him run in 2028. However, what's going to happen in the meantime? That's the big question there. And who is going to be Trump's running mate? Now, there's Kristi Noem's name has been floated around as one of the popular ones is happening. Now, the other person that I think, what's the gal's name? she's running for office. I think she's running for office out in out west someplace, maybe Arizona or Wyoming or someplace. Janice, is that her name? Janice? I can't think of her name. Just a pit bull in the face of the media. I mean, she has called them out. Just rock solid, straightforward, straight shooting person. And I it's one of those individuals I think that would have a really good chance of I can't think of her name right now. She could. Yeah, she's the boss, basically. So that she comes across as she's, yeah. Anyway, so the, there's all that stuff. Now, apparently Newsom, now there's been a poll taken that says that DeSantis is, you know, outrunning. He's a top contender for 2024. Well, that's because they don't include Trump in those polls. I think I talked about that yesterday. So this big thing now between Newsom is actually running ads in Florida. Apparently there's a lot of people who vote in the California election in Florida. Now, keep in mind, there was a recall election in California for governor. Larry Elder ran against him. I believe Larry Elder won. But Larry Elder is a gentleman and a statesman, and he did not push back in the issues. But when you start looking into more and more, now Project Veritas just came out with another expose, but they actually just repeated an expose that they had from the 2020 election, how it talked about how many ballots these people are. So she's now been arrested. She hasn't gone to prison, hasn't done any jail time, but she had over 2,000 ballots that they estimate that she herself personally filled out and delivered in Texas. But, you know, there's no evidence of widespread. Well, have you looked for any evidence? You know, Bill Barr came out and said, oh, there's no evidence. There's no evidence of anything bad happening. The election was fair and square, blah, 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 blah. Okay, how about you show us the budget for your investigation? There has to be some paperwork in the investigating that you did. Exactly what kind of investigation did you do there, Bill? Did you have an extensive, how many people did you assign on that investigation? Who are the people and where is their report? Is there a Freedom of Information Act for that report? Somewhere we can pick up that report on the investigation you did on the 2020 election? No, there's not, is there, Bill? Because you didn't look for anything. Well, I don't see anything under that carpet. Have you pulled back the carpet? Have you taken a glance or look at anything? You're just going by what the three-letter organizations around you are telling you? The CIA and the NSA and the DDA, I believe all those guys. They're telling me there wasn't any interference. Oh, great, that's great. Did they sign their name? Are they one of the 50 that signed their name to that bogus letter that said that the Hunter laptop thing was a Russian? Well, this is the kind of stuff we've got going on at the top, and it's just ridiculous. So here we go. Now I've set this up. This is what Howard Dean says about. Now Howard Dean was a candidate at one point in the primaries for president, on the Democrat Party, and he was very popular. He was really accelerating to the top. He was very dynamic, very, you know, well spoken. Was like a cheerleader type guy. Well, I think he won the Iowa caucus or whatever it was initially. This is back in, I don't know when it was. Might have been against George Bush. I don't know when it was. The first George Bush. He went kind of nuts. He said, yeah, we're going to win here. We're going to win there. We're going to keep on going. Yeah. He did this weird yell thing. And after that, of course, that went viral as it could in those days. And all of a sudden, he plummeted in the polls. People thought he was a wacko. Because of the way he was yelling and stuff. Yeah. People still use it in audio clips. I should have it on my audio clips here. But he's still a pundit. And I believe he might be. He's head of something now in the Democrat Party, I'm sure of that. But here he is on MSNBC. These are his opinions on people running for office right now, talking about Donald Trump, the comparison between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and how he thinks they're going to easily beat Ron DeSantis. Well, who exactly is running against him? Because I don't see that happening. So let's listen to this. I'll just let Dean say it himself.
I think Trump's calculation is mixed up with his illness, which is narcissism, acute narcissism. And it's also mixed up with a political calculation that he's not very good at. I mean, there are a lot of younger people in that party that are much scarier. DeSantis, for one, who just today announced he was going to require all students in Florida's colleges to declare their political views. I mean, this guy is a fascist. Trump is too narcissistic and ill to be a successful fascist, even though he has all those instincts. And I think he'll be easier to beat than any of the other potential candidates.
Keep in mind, I don't know what this deal is with the whole political views thing. I'm sure they twisted some kind of story around with that. Oh, you're required to tell your political views. I'm sure that whole thing has been twisted into something that's not. This is the whole thing, just like the whole thing with the can't say gay bill thing. That was not a part of the bill at all in Florida. That's what it became. The media struck that narrative, and that's where they went with it. And that was, it went all over the country and all over the world. Of course, everybody was on TikTok saying all this stuff. I know. It's not TikTok. I know. I call it TikTok. They're on TikTok. If they can say Democratic, I can say tic-tac. Tic-tac-a-kick. Tic-tac-a-kick. That's what it is. Tic-a-catic. So they had this thing going on, and they were putting themselves on, teachers everywhere were just saying, they were walking down the halls going, gay, 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 gay. That's all they were doing. Because they thought they couldn't say gay. That's not what the bill was about at all. Well, it passed because DeSantis defended it very well in the media and did a good job. They got it through. All it basically says is you can't teach sexual education, sex ed, to kids that are below a certain age. Nothing about gender, nothing about anything else. You can't have teachers basically who are going in with blue hair and talking about their being open about their how they live their lifestyle. That's not what you do as a teacher, okay? I don't remember any of my teachers talking about their personal situations. I didn't know if they were single or married or anything. I didn't know anything about them. It didn't matter. That wasn't what I was there to learn. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about the teacher. It was about my education. I learned how to read and write and do math and little science projects. And we had playtime where I learned about physical education. That's what school was. Now it's all about social programs. Calling each other by the proper pronouns. Whatever. Kids are coming out of school now, don't know how to read. Don't know how to write. Don't understand anything about money or math. That's our public education system. I'm not saying all schools are that way. I'm just saying that it's just gone downhill. So there's that. There's all that. Now, having said all that, they're afraid. Ron DeSantis scares them. Now, keep this in mind. For some reason, people in the Republican Party, those who would vote Republican, who like DeSantis, think that the media is somehow going to accept him better than they accepted Trump. I guarantee you, they're already setting up DeSantis as a monster. He's worse than Trump. He's more of a fascist than Trump. Trump is just a narcissist. But he's not smart enough to be a fascist. Ron DeSantis is more of a fascist. This coming from the party of the fascists. The party who just for the last 2 years told us what to do, when to go, where to go, how to go, everything about everything that's going on, what to put over your face, what kind of shot you have to take. And Ron DeSantis is the fascist. One of the few states that didn't close down, and has opened up everything for commerce. One of the few states whose economy is driving the entire United States economy. I mean, right now, if you look at it, the shrinkage in terms of the gross domestic product, the GNP, GDP, GDP, yeah, GDP, GR, GRD, JFK, whatever it is. GDP, yeah. I'll get it eventually. It takes my brain a while to catch up with my mouth. So we have this issue where they get out there with this stuff and they start turning the person into a monster. Look what they did with Kavanaugh. All of a sudden, Kavanaugh is this monster. Of course, now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, they're coming out. I saw there was an article recently put out by I just said his name a little bit ago. I ran against Governor. What was his name? I hate this when I get distracted by some noises here in the house, and now I'm lost. I'm completely lost. I'm a confused old man. So anyway, what's the guy's name? Larry Elder. Larry Elder came out with this with a video, and he basically said, Clarence Thomas is the most hated black man in America by the left. It just amazes me the racism that goes on there. One of the reasons he's hated by the left is because he married a white woman. And they hate her because she's too politically involved, which disqualifies him, and he should be impeached, according to them. Because her political opinions apparently make a difference in what he does. Well, if that's the case, then we need to disqualify everyone in Congress, everyone everywhere, because of their ties to political stuff outside of their partner's job. It's just the continued polarization and ridiculous rhetoric that comes from the left is they just want to divide and conquer. This is part of the strategy of Rules for Radicals. You divide people up into groups. Identity politics is called, popularly called identity politics. So you get people divided up into these groups, and you have them identifying in these groups, and then you can kind of, you give one person privileges over another. This is all in Rules for Radicals. You give one group special rights, special privileges, protected class of people, and then you use that as a wedge against the other groups, and you get them fighting amongst themselves. So now the attention is off of politicians. Any kind of thing that you can do to create a crisis like this, like racism, there's racial bias among police, there's all this stuff that goes on. You pull all this stuff up and say, you make it into a much bigger issue than it needs to be, or than it actually is. And we have this crisis on our hands that we have to deal with. The entire country has to deal with this. They don't ever talk about per capita. They don't want to have anything to do with that. They want you to think that there's a shooter, around every tree that's ready to go crazy with an AK-47 or an AR-15. And this is going to happen. Everybody has to have bulletproof underwear on because there's shooters everywhere. And they don't put anything in perspective at all. They want you in fear. They accuse the right of being the fearmongers. Because the right does have a tendency to try to sound the alarm and make you afraid of what's going on with the left. That is something to fear. Because of where they're going with this globalist agenda and all this liberal worldview thing. Liberal world order. Working out great, by the way, in the Netherlands. The pandemic set the motion. That they had the entire world locked down there, and the whole time they're thinking, okay, how are we gonna come out of this with the Great Reset? I'm not talking about conspiracy theories here, folks. This is what they're saying. These are their words. The Great Reset is their word. That's their terminology. They want to come out of this thing with a globalist leadership mentality, things in place to make globalism, and that is even more centralized global government, have more authority over sovereign nations. And our country, by the way, I tell you, going through this process with Joe Biden sitting in the Oval Office as a puppet to just do whatever he's told on a little cue card. Is a very dangerous posture that we have right now as a nation. You know, we'll see what happens now after. Now, there's this thought that for some reason, there's some people who don't think we're going to take back the Senate. Now, we won't have a filibuster-proof Senate. I guarantee you that. I don't know why they're saying that we will take back the House, but we don't know if we're going to take back the Senate. I don't know if it's because there's not enough people up for election in red states that we could potentially take back the Senate. I wouldn't be so sure about that. The sentiment among most independents and even some old school Democrats, they are very tired. And here's another thing, folks. All these people coming across the border, I think the bad news for the Democrats is they are not necessarily all going to vote Democrat. A vast majority of them probably will, but I don't think as many as you think, as they think we think, because they think what we think. They don't know what we think, but I don't think they know what they think. I think that the people coming across the border don't necessarily like the Democrat Party. I don't think they necessarily like. A lot of these people are running from the very thing that the Democrats stand for. There's people running for office now. It came from some of these dictatorships, some of these countries. There's one lady who's running. I think she's running for governor or something. She's from Venezuela. And she said, I see the same thing happening here, and I've got to step in. I've got to run. She just can't take it anymore. I mean, if nothing else, even if she loses, her message is very powerful. I don't know whether she's politically able to do the whole, you know, to do the job. I think she can do the job. I don't think she can, but politically, as far as fighting off the media and winning the race, I'm not sure. That's the tough part of it right there. We'll see. So we have all this stuff going on. Now, along with this, some of this, these things, where did I put my, oh, there it is. I think I mentioned the Netherlands, the globalists are intruding on a lot of things. I remember what I was going to say. This is the way this show works, folks. There's no editing. It's just live. Just me live being recorded live. Schiff, apparently, in the process of all the stuff that's going on with January 6th Commission, all the screwy things that they're doing and the way they're changing the rules and all the stuff that they're doing, this little conniving little sneaky guy. Well, in the process of all this stuff happening, see, there's something called posse comitatus. This was on Robert Gavea last night. He was talking about this whole thing. Really kind of blowing the cover off what Schiff is doing in the process. Most people don't understand posse comitatus. They don't understand anything about some of the rules and regulations between the military and how they are used during civilian stuff. And there's this rule where the military cannot be used against U.S. citizens. You can't just have the military come in and do something. Only for short periods of time. It has to be a kind of a national disaster type thing or a national emergency. And because of this, think about this. It's not just having troops on the corners of your street. It goes even further than that. You can't use the DOJ and their intelligence services against the American people either. You can't use anything militarily against the American citizens. Now, you could use them to protect the border, but they don't like that idea. The issue then becomes, during this whole January 6th thing, the little dirty little secret is, Adam Schiff behind the scenes, because he's part of the Security Council, which he shouldn't be at all. This guy's such a fraud. He just spreads lies. Oh, there's plenty of evidence that Trump incited this riot and caused this whole thing, this January 6th thing. You know, their whole thing right now, and this is the mantra you're going to hear from Liz Cheney, is that Trump knew that everybody there at the Ellipse they were armed. He sent them down there, and he was planning to join them, and they were going to have. Okay, if this is the plan, if this is all they can think of, I think that Trump would have had a better plan for taking over the government. He put Vice President Pence in harm's way because he knew they were threatening him, and they were saying hang Pence, and they're putting words in his mouth, and they're rearranging the timeline of things that happened and what he said. They're editing his speech. He's saying that when he says mags, they think he's meant magazines, like the bullet, you know, the what you load your gun with, bullets, your magazine. He was talking about the magnetometers. I don't even know if that conversation even happened. It's just all third hand information. We don't know if this stuff ever happened. He wanted everybody to be able to come to the Ellipse without being checked, supposedly. That doesn't make any sense either to me. Maybe he did. I don't know. But it's still, we don't know. We haven't heard that from anybody from the Secret Service or anybody from in security. The four people, the four Capitol Police that keep parading around, who are sitting in on all these meetings. Did they get paid for this? Are they still on staff with the? Because they've been to like every one of these meetings, sitting next to people like Sean Penn and getting hugs from other people. And you know, Liz Cheney was hugging Cassidy Hutchinson after one of the meetings, gave her a big hug. When was the last time you saw a judge walk up and give somebody a hug? From somebody who's being prosecuted, or a witness who comes forward when have you seen that happen? Because this isn't a trial, folks. First of all, it's an illegal commission. They were supposed to have 13 people. Five of them were supposed to be minority party, which would be Republican in this case. Not chosen by the Speaker of the House. Republican Party put two people up there, and they struck those down and put their own people in. Their own Republicans. These are our Republicans right here. And they start patting them on the head and giving them all kinds of accolades, so they'll just continue to spew out all kinds of information, take the side of, oh, look how popular I'm getting. I'm being asked to talk on CNN and MSNBC every night. I believe a lot of American people can see through this. A lot of them can't. A lot of them just hear the sound bites. They're convinced that Trump incited the riot, that he wanted to pick up a flag, the Trump flag, and just wave it all the way down to the Capitol building and have them attack the Capitol and kill Mike Pence and take over the country. That's a great plan. Well, Trump was upset that he lost the election. Oh, well. Hillary Clinton was upset that she lost the election. I guess that was okay. I bet you anything. You want to talk about food flying the next day? You want to talk about temper tantrums? For 4 years, she threw a temper tantrum after that happened. In fact, she's still throwing one today. She's mad that Joe Biden is in office right now.
That should have been me. I'm going to take those profits.
Anyway, I digress. So Schiff has now come out sneakily behind the scenes, and he wants to change the rules that the January 6th committee has been operating under all this time. He's trying to shut the door on all the little tools they've been using from the DOJ and all the other things that they've been using from the military complex to do their investigation. He wants to shut the door and make sure that the next committee isn't able to do those things. Because guess what's going to happen? This committee is going away. Adam Schiff is no longer going to be in the Security Council Commission. I guarantee you that. Things are going to change. I believe the Republicans will take back the House. I believe the Republicans will take back the Senate. Do they deserve it? No. And here's why. They haven't earned it. They're all chomping at the bits, just love the fact that they're going to be back into power and they haven't had to do anything to get there because Joe Biden is so miserably incompetent that he's going to drag the party down and they get to step in because they're the default party. They haven't done anything to earn it. They haven't given us any kind of platform to vote for. People are just going to simply vote against the Democrats, or they're just not going to come out to vote at all. It is going to be a landslide. Probably one of the biggest landslides we've ever seen in a midterm election. I don't know if those 9 million people who voted for Biden over Obama, if they all show up, and you know who they are. You can go down to your cemetery and just pick any name you want. That's probably the people who are voting for him. So they ended up, they're going to, he's changing the rules behind the, because he knows he has to shut this door. Because these commissions, these committees are going to be used now to investigate what they've been doing. Well, they'll get away with it because the FBI will step in and do the investigation. And of course, the FBI isn't interested in actually prosecuting anybody. They want to do the investigation so that they can maintain control over these guys. This happens all the time. Why do you think they held on to the Hunter laptop? They held on to it they had it before the 2020 election. They had it a year before that. They were aware of it. They did nothing with it. Why? Because they could use it in case Joe Biden got elected as president. Now we have something to hold over his head. We can control this guy. They did the same thing with Trump, with the dossier. James Comey went into Trump's office by himself and took notes that he later passed on to somebody to give to the media. I didn't feel like it was right for me to give them directly to media. So I gave it to somebody else to give to the media, because that's more ethical. Now, whatever. So you paid a delivery boy. I mean, you didn't pay him. You just, gave it to him for free. You used a delivery boy to give it to the media. Gee, that's more ethical, that Mr. Ethics Man, Mr. Comey, who taught ethics at whatever it was, Cambridge or wherever he taught it. I don't know. Some Ivy League place. So he has to be, he found a way to, that's the kind of people who teach that kind of thing typically is they find ways around things. Well, ethically, I can't do this, but I could do that. That's ethical. Even though the same outcome is happening, the means to get there, I have to be careful of the means to get there. Well, we can't prosecute Hillary because she had no intent. When was intent? So I murdered the person, but I didn't have any intent. I can't prove intent. It's like a hate crime. How do you know somebody had hate in their heart when they went to murder somebody? Well, they murdered them. Most people don't murder somebody because they love them. It happens occasionally, but they think it's love, but it's not. They don't. Oh, I digress. Okay, so we get all this stuff done. And so Adam's trying to change the rules behind the scenes here. Now, I don't know whether the Republicans will actually do anything. They're claiming they're gonna impeach Biden. They're going to do all this stuff. I don't know. I don't know, folks. I don't know that impeaching Biden is the answer. Now, does Biden should you know what? Biden should be in prison. Hillary Clinton should be in prison. Hunter Biden should be in jail. But because they are a part of this elite group, they get away with this stuff. I was talking about the James Comey thing. The FBI, he walks into Trump's Oval Office and gives him a shakedown. He shows him the dossier. This is the kind of thing that's out there. We can protect you from this kind of thing. Now, I don't know what Trump's reaction to this was. Obviously, he probably just said, it's all bogus crap. I don't know. So if that kind of stuff is out there, I assume you guys are going to vet it. And, you know, I don't know what if that was the first time I would have seen that information, I had no idea. It's like, so my director of my FBI, who works directly for me, I had the power to fire the man, comes up to me and says, this is the kind of thing that's out there. I think one of the things that Trump asked him was he asked for his loyalty. Are you loyal to me? Are you going to be loyal to me? What that means, what Trump was getting at is you're not going to backstab me. You're not going to pull any shenanigans. You're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be biased in this situation. You're not going to undermine me. That's what Trump means by loyal. He didn't mean you have to serve me without you know, and can't disagree with anything I say. That's not what he was asking. But that's not the way. Of course, that's not the way that Comey presented it when he presented it in his notes he gave to. This is much like the Cassidy thing. I still have some questions about this whole Cassidy thing. Of course, there's been more people come out now that have refuted everything she said. Basically, she's lying. That she might have heard this stuff, but none of it happened. This is why you can't use hearsay in a court of law. Now, when she portrayed this stuff on the stand when she was talking to the January 6th Commission, you'd have thought the way she was saying it, you'd have thought she was right there. Well, he said something to the effect of, she was very, very well coached in terms of how to get away with. Well, he said something to the effect of, you know, he reached for this and he reached for the steering wheel. He said something to the effect of this. Okay, so what did he actually say? Well, that was what he said. That's what I understood. He said it was something to that effect. So it wasn't exactly what he said. He said, I want to go back and play Candyland. But the way I heard it was, the effect of it was, he reached through the steering wheel. He was trying to kill all the Secret Service agents so he could go down and take over the country. Because, you know, he knew the mob was armed, and he went ahead and sent them down there. That was the key point there was when he said, I want you to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. That's what he meant. What he really meant there was, take your guns that I know you have and go down there and hang Mike Pence and take over the Capitol building. And we'll take back our country. I can stay in power forever. That's what he really meant to say. Something to that effect. That's how ridiculous these people are. I digress. I realize I've been ranting all morning here. It is Friday, by the way. So it's the end of the week. I'm not going to have a chance to rant again until Monday. Scary thing is, next week, I've got this really late schedule next week. So I will be doing morning shows. I don't know how early they will be because I'll have these late nights next Monday through Wednesday. I'll have kind of a late night deal going on. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm not much of a late night person anymore. I'm more of a morning person. But I've got so many chores in the morning, I don't have a chance to get. Well, music's getting louder and louder, isn't it? Kind of annoying. I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope you have some time off this weekend. I don't. I travel. But That's just the nature of my business, nature of my game. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Have a great weekend. God bless. Pray for our nation. Pray for this situation and all the chaos that's going on, as we can come through this. God bless.